o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. We're glad to be together this morning to celebrate our Lord and his resurrection, as we do every Sunday morning, is a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and the wonderful gifts that he gives us. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning on KSBK. Thanks for joining us for our service today on this beautiful July morning. We're blessed to be together. This morning, our service is a little bit different. Comes from the service of prayer and preaching in your hymnal. So a little different than the regular service we're used to. But we like to mix things up sometimes and keep things newer and fresh, and we enjoy that. So we'll be using the service of prayer and preaching. You'll notice the New Testament canticle that we'll sing in a few moments after our confession is a different canticle than we normally use. And then we will be celebrating Holy Communion this morning. We are planning today to have our communion service like we did last Sunday in the line in the center of the church. So we'll just invite the ushers, will bring you down the aisles to the center to receive the sacrament this morning. And we're thankful that you're here. And we're blessed to be together. Let's begin our service today by singing our welcome hymn, and that's hymn number 335, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice. Let's sing together. Continue with our opening versicles there in the bulletin. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We continue with our confession of sins there at the bottom of the page. Holy and gracious God, I confess that I have sinned against you this day. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me, that I may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of Christ, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rest now in his peace and live this day to serve him. Amen. We continue with our canticle. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world. And at life's end, grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today comes from the prophet Zechariah in the 9th chapter. We begin here in verse 9. He, of course, recognizing that the prophets are often speaking of our Lord Jesus and his reign and victory. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you double. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, and this is a continuation of the epistle reading that we had in the sermon last week, and we will also be focusing on this reading from Romans 7 this week for the sermon as well. We begin in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand if you're able as we sing our Alleluia and read our Holy Gospel reading.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We recite the Ten Commandments together. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray together the collect of the word for the word. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Consider with me this morning a church word that I am pretty sure you've heard before. Sanctification. Have you ever heard that? Most have. And it's kind of a church word, but it's also in your Bible and in mine. And sanctification, or the act of being sanctified, sounds like a bit of a lofty theological terminology. But it truly isn't a lofty concept. The word sanctify simply is a transliteration from the Latin word sanctus. The word sanctus in Latin, which you'll see in your bulletin in the communion service and also in your hymnal, means holy. So when we say the word sanctify or sanctification, we're saying basically holification or holify. Make one holy is the idea. If we're sanctified, we're being made holy. And interestingly enough, it's not in the passive voice in the sense that God is always the one doing it. He's always the one sanctifying. He's always the one making us holy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 puts it this way: God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So we see God at the controls, so to speak, of us being made holy. God is busy at work sanctifying us, making us holy throughout our lives. And this morning, the reason I'm bringing up this word and this idea is because I wondered if you'd go with me to look at how he goes about this work of sanctification, and more specifically, what it looks like to us when it's taking place in our lives, because that matters, and it matters a lot. When God is sanctifying me, what does it look like? How does it feel? That's what's going on in our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 7. It's what it's really all about. In that reading, the Apostle Paul is describing the sanctified life, although most people don't see it that way. He's describing it for anyone who's willing to listen. He does it and describes his own experience in the Christian faith, in order that we may not be led astray by a self-righteous, self-empowered view of the Christian life, which, trust me, friends, is really popular, beyond description popular. Self-empowered views, the popular ones, tell us that being holy is our job, up to us. That Jesus died on the cross, they'll say that, but then they'll also say, what are you going to do about that? Will you prove yourself worthy of it? Work hard to be better than your neighbor at it? This is most people's understanding of sanctification. If you're going to be made holy, then it's really up to you. How committed are you? On top of that, when we think about being made holy or sanctification, we want to see results. Am I right? We want to see if it's working. We kind of treat it like we do when we go on a diet. Now, I know most of you don't need to go on a diet, but I go on diets pretty often. They don't really work that great. But we think about sanctification like that. Like, we want to see the results. You know, we'll try like a diet for like a week, or maybe if we're really into it, like a month. But we want to see the numbers on the scale go down. We want to see the physique change. And if it doesn't, we lose the diet, right? We go on to something else. But that's not how sanctification works at all. When God's working on us, it's often difficult for us, because of that popular self-empowerment idea, to see any results at all in our lives. Because what we think holy living is basically the idea that we have to measure it, both in ourselves and in the people around us. But let me tell you, we don't have a clue how to measure God's sanctification in our lives or in other people around us' lives. And that's why we have Romans chapter 7 to give us some guidance on this. First, let me give you a quick example. We think someone is a righteous person or close to God when they what? When they what? When they treat us nicely? When they go to church? When they know the Bible pretty well? They accept us maybe? A salesman will treat you nicely, but he has an ulterior motive for doing so. Sometimes church going happens for all sorts of creepy reasons. Some people are there for control, for some kind of weird power, or to exercise their influence where no one will tell them to go away. Even the devil knows the Bible really, really well. And gangsters accept people. So what is it? What is the sanctified life? What does it really look like? I think this is where it gets really interesting. Because when it comes to this, we're no good at measuring it or seeing it in others or ourselves. And we think to ourselves as Christians, if I was truly being made holy, wouldn't I stop sinning? Or at least sin a lot less? That would make sense. Wouldn't I be able to click on different things? Stop lying, stop lusting, stop coveting the things I see that other people have? Wouldn't I stop getting angry so easily? Let's check out Romans chapter 7 now, because God has something he wants to show us. It's a man named Paul. He was also known, same guy, as Saul of Tarsus. Saul had a sketchy past when he came to the church, and he used to persecute people who trusted in Jesus. He used to throw them in jail. He used to punish them. But in the same year that our Lord died, 33 AD, Jesus stopped Paul in his tracks as he was traveling into a town called Damascus. He was going there with authority from the chief priest from Jerusalem in order to put a stop to this Christian thing for good. But on the way, he was confronted by the living Christ. The account of these things is in Acts chapter 9. Jesus appears on the road to Paul and he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Then he blinds him temporarily and sends him to a man named Ananias' house. And there, he's able to regain his sight by God's work. He's baptized and he receives the Holy Spirit. He's converted to faith in Jesus as Messiah. And remember, that's the year 33 AD. Now this same man, whether you call him Saul or Paul, doesn't really matter, he became almost a super apostle, according to the scriptures, traveling all over the Mediterranean world, starting churches, preaching the gospel, having Christ work miracles through him. He's the one that wrote Romans chapter 7. And he's an example for us, as he himself says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So here's what strikes me about our text. That same man writes this letter to the church at Rome in the year 57 or 58, we're still not sure, one of those 2 years, AD. Some 25 years later, after his conversion, after him receiving the Holy Spirit, after all this wonderful ministry that he did that's recorded on the pages of the book of Acts, and most of our New Testament is written by this guy. Well, the Holy Spirit through him. And if he's done all that, all that wonderful ministry, all that service to Christ, wouldn't we expect him to be sanctified by now? Maybe even so holy that he'd barely even sin. But listen to what he says about his sanctified life. Verse 15 of Romans chapter 7. I do not understand my own actions, he says. For I do not do what I want, but the very thing I do, I hate. Or I do the very thing I hate. Say what? That should catch you. It really should. Say what? Paul! Saul! Paul! You haven't figured out how to be holy yet? 25 years of ministry? Of apostolic ministry? What's going on here? Maybe what we think holy is, or sanctified is, what we think our experience of getting closer to God should look like isn't real. Have we too been influenced by that self-empowered idea? Maybe the experience of being sanctified or getting holy or closer to God, according to the Bible, looks and feels different than we think it should. Maybe the whole sanctified life works 180 degrees opposite the way that we've concluded it does. Friends, exactly. That's what God wants us to see today. As our Lord thanked him in the gospel reading, say, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've revealed these things to little children. Listen to Paul later on in the reading. This is verse 18 and 19. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. It's pretty weird that the super apostle, Paul, is being honest about himself with you and me this morning. The question that comes to us then is, can we be honest about ourselves this morning? It's easier to keep pretending. But remember, he said, be imitators of me. So if the great apostle is still struggling with sin in his mortal body 25 years after receiving the Holy Spirit, after all his amazing ministry, maybe you and I need to adjust our expectations about what it feels like to be sanctified by God. We do. So what is the difference between Saul in the year 33 AD in the year 57 or 58 AD when he writes the letter to the church at Rome? It's the same thing that's different in you and me. From before we were believers in Jesus to now that we assuredly are believers and we've been baptized and we have the seal of the Holy Spirit unto salvation. See, before the Damascus Road, Saul couldn't see his sin. But afterwards, as we read what he said this morning, he sees it clearly. Do you? Do I? Do we recognize what he's saying in verse 21 to 23? He says, so I find it to be a law, like a natural law, that when I do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Can we see our sin? Then guess what? We can be assured that we're being sanctified by Christ. We're being made holy by his Spirit through his leading every day to repentance and forgiveness. Now, I had somebody tell me not too long ago, it seems like the more I learn, the closer I get it to God, the more I see how really sinful I am. Aha. That's it. Don't worry that you're good when you don't sin, because that really isn't happening for any of us, sadly, and you're out of the kingdom when you do. Instead, rejoice like Paul. You can see the war that's going on in your members. We all know the sanctified life, don't we? We all know it. Because we can see the battle. We can feel it in our gut when temptation comes. What we want to do, we fail at. And what we don't want to do, that's what we find ourselves doing. But we can rejoice that God is working on us. See how that shows it? His grace. He's revealing the evil that lies close at hand. He's showing it to you. That's remarkable. And should we fight against it with all our might, with the full armor of God? You better believe it. Absolutely. Fight against it with the word of God and every weapon that we have. But when we fail, we should not despair. When we see that sin has got us once again, and we seek forgiveness, let us rejoice because God is making us holy. But there's one more thing to learn from this. It teaches us not to stand in judgment over others who also struggle with their own unique flavors of sin. We're not better than them. If we think we are, we're self-righteous. If we can't see our sin, then we're more like Saul before his conversion than we are like the Paul who wrote the book of Romans. What we must be weary of are unrepentant. The unrepentant. They have no part with Christ. Repentant sinners are those being sanctified. Do you see it? But the unrepentant, those who say, this isn't sin, that I do this or I do that or I don't do this, and it's not sinful. Let me show you how. See, let me show you this loophole over here. Those are those that we ought to be weary of. We do not commune with them at our altar. They take no part in Christ. And the end of continuing in that path is destruction. But repentant sinners, now that's something we rejoice in. The ones being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. But when we see a repentant sinner, when somebody walks up to us, especially within the household of faith, and says, hey brother, hey sister, I'm sorry. That's where our Lord commands us, right? Unless you forgive their sins, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you yours. Because we're all in the same boat. Paul's telling us about that in Romans 7 this morning. We're all fighting this battle. And left to ourselves, our conclusion would be the same as verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says, who's going to save me from this body of death? You know, the whole point of verse 24 is that he basically can't figure it out. That all he can do is cry out and say, wretched man that I am. Welcome to sanctification, friends. That's what it is. It's God revealing the truth, whether we like it or whether we don't. And we know how that feels. We know how it feels to have sin in our bodies and to feel guilty and to feel shame and to know that we have looked down on other people, people who don't come to church, people that we don't think are treating us kind enough, or people that don't work hard and don't know the Bible very well. But we shouldn't judge them. No, they're struggling too. Just like we are. Jesus is the one who did this, friends. He's the one that beat it. Our conclusion stops at, oh, wretched man that I am. But that's not his word. Not his last word. Oh, no. He has won the victory. Who will save me from this body of death? This is a confession of a sinner that shows that they're being sanctified. A full trust in Jesus for our righteous standing before God is what he desires for you. That's what he gives into the little children and hides from the wise. It's not a self-empowered life. It's a Christ-empowered life. We can't be perfect, but he gives us his own body and his own blood and his own word and his own perfection. And it reveals the struggle, yes. It shows sin trying to hide in you and me and every nook and cranny and every dark little thing in space. But he shines a light on it and he calls it sanctification. And it scatters at his word that all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It loses any bit of power. So this is Paul's conclusion, and I pray that it's yours and mine also. O wretched man that I am, who would save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. His salvation, his cross and resurrection is enough. And then we can live free in his grace and forgiveness to share. We're not better. In fact, as we're sanctified, and as we get closer to God, if you want to put it that way, what we'll end up saying is what Isaiah says in chapter 6 of his prophecy, when he's in the temple and God is there. What does he say? He says, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live amidst an unclean people." As we are sanctified, this is what we'll see. Sin revealed in every spot. But we rejoice and we praise God that he's won the victory in Christ and he's forgiven our sins and he did it for us. And in him, and only in him, we're truly, truly righteous. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you turn over to hymn number 606 this morning, we sing our response hymn today, I Lay My Sins on Jesus. Let's sing. come to the time in our service for our offering. As our ushers bring the plates and pass them, our organist will play us an instrumental piece, and we remember that the Lord inspires us because of what he did for us to give to him in order that the gospel may be preached and the sacraments administered according to Christ's command. Let's take this time to give our gifts to our Lord. Amen. This morning we have the blessing of installing our director of lay ministry for this coming year, Sherman Strobeck. So I asked Sherman if he'd come forward at this time. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." There was more last week, so this is a lot simpler, right? Sherman Strobeck has been elected to serve as the director of lay ministry. Sherman, you've been chosen to fulfill a specific office and position of responsibility here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of the young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and sick and cultivating harmony among the members and promoting the general welfare of this congregation and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of this congregation, it's especially important that you, as an office bearer in his church, show yourself by word and example to be faithful faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the office entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promise and faithfulness spoken by Sherman, whom you selected to serve as the director of lay ministry. Do you promise to help him in his work and to remember him in your prayers and to work with him to the best of your abilities that God has given you so that God may be glorified and his work be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
Sherman Strobeck, I install you as the director of lay ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten you and strengthen you in your office that you may be good and faithful steward to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up your servants for the work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and a willing heart. Lay your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and now have completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we with all your faithful people may hear the voice of Christ saying to us, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Amen. Do you want to?
I'd like to announce that Steve Johnson in the balcony has agreed to join lay ministry, which lay ministry is thrilled. We need good men like Steve. And so Steve Johnson will be joining lay ministry as a member of lay ministry. And we're thrilled to have him.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm going to say one other thing while I'm on the floor. regarding Johnson, Lisa and I were in Grand Junction last Wednesday, and we stopped and saw Jay and Eileen. And they wanted us to tell all of you that they are feeling great. They're happy where they are. However, they miss Alamosa and they miss members of Trinity Church, but they wanted us to communicate that they are doing well and are feeling great.
Excellent. Thank you. We now come to the time for our prayer of the church. Our prayer is printed for us in the bulletin this morning on page 9, responsively. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For all those in need, for the hungry and the homeless, for the widowed and the orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. For April Chamorro and family, for Earl Parch, for Connie and Tom Poole, for Dave Johnson, for Betty White, for Frankie Gray, for Nathan Poole, for Brooklyn Clasby, for Carolyn Jury, for Mona Hauser, for Marcella Pilcher, for Betty Gray, for Sandy Santisteven, for Betty Patton, for Sonny Rumler, for Frank Rendon, for Ella Clark, for Greg and Chris, for Don Hermanson, and for all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. For all these that we lift to you, Lord, let us pray to the Lord. Finally, for all these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We invite the congregation to stand now for our service of the sacrament. Those who are joining us on the radio, we wish you the sincerest blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would remind you that he's faithful and goes with you wherever you go according to his promise, and that his forgiveness is yours this day. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary this morning, we begin there on page 10 in the bulletin with the preface. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsall.